attitude that's in the people today. I'm as secure as I can be. And yet, plain, flat, disbelieve something. Take away from the word. Add to it. You see it in a lot of preachers. I mean, they add to, take to, do it all day long, what they want to. And yet, they got everything. They are everything. They're the sons of God. You know? And the first thing you know, though, the rapture will be gone. And it's going to be a secret sudden going. And nobody know nothing about it. The world will just keep right on a going. They don't want nobody preaching this, that, and the other. And they don't think people's getting saved and all kinds of things he goes on to say. Putting their names on books, joining churches, shouting, jumping up and down. All these things, you know. And a little bride will be gone. So he's just letting us know a little something there that, in just a couple of places I read, that the condition of people will be in. And now as we see the time we've approached to, now we look at that and we can see it's being fulfilled. It's happening. You know, it's just going on. People are deceived and thinking everything's okay and I'm all right and I'm the best and I'm bride and I'm ready for rapture. If people's ready for rapture, it doesn't come. You see? So there's something about this, you know. And who's at a lot of fault of this? The preachers? Because they don't want to preach against sin. They don't want to preach holiness. They don't want to preach being right. They don't want to preach how close and serious that token is. The literal life of Christ has to be. Well, if I preached that all the time, brother, my people would leave. Let them leave. They wasn't bright anyway. You see? If they can't listen to what that prophet said, they're not bright to start with. No. Yeah, there ain't no way, friends. Listen to what he says in Satan Eden. Then we'll pick up some other things here. Paragraph 65. This was August 29th, 1965. Now he said he would exalt himself above the Most High. Talking about Lucifer. He would exalt himself above the Most High. He would ascend above the clouds and the stars. And he would sit there like God and be above the Most High. And he was succeeded in carrying out his threats. He has certainly had a marvelous success in carrying out his threats. Yeah, Satan has. He sure has had a marvelous success. It's all through the message. He's had a marvelous success. See? By the people letting him explain away in every age the value of God's promised word to that age. Amen. Hasn't he done that? The value, the precious value of what that prophet brought. And the scriptures that spoke, they preach it away. The value of it. That's exactly how he's done it in every age. He's explained it away. Oh my. He says here, now in the days of Jesus, he did the same thing. He poisoned their minds again by deceit. So don't you think he's going to try the same thing today? He has done it and he has succeeded in it. See? See, misinterpreting the word. If thou be the Son of God, let me see you do something about it. He said Jesus didn't clown for him, though. He never did. God is not a clown. He don't have to answer anything Satan asks. We read this last time, but I wanted to finish where we was finishing off at. Jesus said, it's written, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He didn't have to clown for him. He didn't have to make bread. He could have done it, but he had been listening to the devil then. So he didn't have to listen to the devil. Okay? And guess what? I don't have to listen to the devil today either. I don't care what preacher it is. You know, if it's contrary to the word, we'll show you and renew your minds back to where that man stands. Okay? All right? I'll skip over this for tonight. Next thing is probably Sunday. I'll have to pick it up a little bit more. All right, he says here in Satan's Eden, going on, you see Satan out here in disguisement. Disguisement. Okay? He is trying to say it's not so. Do you understand that, he says? Congregation says, amen. See, Satan says, or he says, see, Satan said, oh, that ain't for this day. That was some other time. That don't even mean that. Oh, haven't we heard that before? That don't even mean that. You know? Every seed must come forth of its kind. Now pay attention to that. Every seed, yeah, has to bring forth its kind. That's how God establishes Eden, is that right? And here it is, that's how God establishes his church. Every word after his kind. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeding out of the mouth of God. See, Satan, he'll take something else. But God said, every seed after its kind. If the promise said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now the church says, join church. Yeah. Recite the creed. Know the catechism. There is no such things in the whole Bible as those things. But Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. If they take up serpents or drink deadly things, it won't harm them. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. Who is any man to deny that? Every seed will bring forth of its kind. If you are a seed of God, an attribute, a son of God, then the word of God is sown in you. And then, when you hear the word of God, my sheep hear my voice, a stranger, they won't follow. Y'all know the scripture, don't you? A stranger, they will not follow. You get it? Then every seed comes forth after its own kind. Now we find out every seed bringing forth its kind, there was no death in the Eden. There would be no death in the new Eden. So there was nothing else but holiness, purity, and eternal life. That's what he said there. There'll be nothing but holiness, purity, eternal life. Now, by unbelief in all of God's word, he says, has brought the seed of unholiness in Satan's Eden. Now listen to that. I'll read it again. By unbelief in all of God's word, in other words, not believing all of it, has brought the seed of unholiness in Satan's Eden. We are now entering in where Satan is taking the throne as the Antichrist. Eden of this earth, a Eden of sin, perverted religion. He started not upon, I am Satan, I am the great angel. No, no, no. Not upon that, but upon perverting God's word. That's what he started with. Okay? And that's how he's brought his kingdom in every age. And now in this great deceitful age, ready to take his throne by his people, he has built himself an intellectual, educated, scientific Eden. Right, he says. Scientific preachers. Scientific church. Scientific theology. Everything is scientific. Everything is on the basis of knowledge. Now listen to that. The whole church is built upon knowledge. It ain't built upon faith like it should be. You see? It's about knowledge. It's about trying to figure it all out and get it straight in your head what this all means. No, it's all by faith what it means. You see? Now, I want you to think about what he says. Sown a seed of unholiness. And I never really caught it until the next day. And I'm telling you, you ever feel condemned? Something you've done wrong? You ever feel that feeling? Why did I ever do this? You know, just feel really sick at yourself. You know? Well, when I got home, I knew something wasn't right. And I just prayed through the night different times. I said, Lord, what is this? I'm not getting something here. What's going on, you know? And us brothers was talking out there, and I there was four or five of us out there talking. And the brother mentioned about a minister preaching about you can preach holiness until you condemn yourself. And that didn't even strike with me at that time. I mean, nothing at all. And I shook my head and, well, I could see that. But I was thinking in a different channel, you know. But the Holy Ghost would not leave me alone about it. I mean, it just felt like I was a bag of dirt and trash. Because I shook my head. I said, Lord, I don't understand this. I said, because in one sense I can see. I said, why, you know, you could preach holiness in a way, you know, where it condemn you. But then when I went in my room and began to pray, and then the quotes just bang, bang, bang. I thought, uh-oh, now I see what you're talking about, Lord. I see what you're talking about. That was Satan that said that. That was Lucifer working through that man, that preacher, message preacher. Yeah. I thought, oh, God, look how close that is. Look how close that is. You know? I'll show you. How could you ever preach holiness to a point to where it condemn you? If it condemn you, you better get condemned. Because it's His holiness in you. You see? But you know what people can do with that? Now, can you imagine your pastor getting up and preaching that? Now, and those that ain't in Christ where they need to be to start with, and what they would sit there and think, every time a little something come along and it wasn't really holiness, well, you know, we can't have that much holiness. We'll condemn ourselves, you know? Tell me any preacher throughout the land is preaching holiness enough. Been enough of them. Nah. Always that seed being sown, you don't have to go that far. That's why the sisters is getting dresses that form to themselves and these pants-looking shirts and doing their hair different ways and it's sexy and attractive and all this stuff and starting to wear a little bit of light makeup on their lips and doing these all these things and the women running places they shouldn't be running and the men doing things they shouldn't be doing and doing worldly things like they shouldn't be doing because it just keeps getting less and less and less holiness. And boy, if that wasn't paving a road for people to follow right into it. You see? It's not but the devil. You see? Nothing but the plain devil. The scripture says, 1 Peter 1:5, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. If the people would even just get that, have a holy conversation. A lot of times they get into this filth and that filth and talking about this dirty thing and that joke and this thing that gets cutting up and doing things it shouldn't be talking about. You see? Because it is written, because he's talking about Leviticus 20th chapter. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Okay? I'm just going to read a few things first. He says here in Hebrews 12, 5 to 14, we'll read this. Well, he goes on talking about chastisement and so forth. But he goes in the 10th verse, for they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit that we might be partakers. Now that's to be partner with. The original Greek says, to be partner with, okay? Of his holiness. Oh. Now I'm going to tell you what. Do you know anybody more holy than our Lord Jesus Christ? Oh my. The Word of God, God in action. Do you know anything more holy than that? That's really holy. Oh, my, that's really clean. That's really pure. You ever know of God not doing something pure? You ever know the Lord Jesus Christ doing something not pure? Oh, my, what a true example he was. Now, we're to have that same holiness. And if he's in us, we will. Can I preach too much of Christ in us? No way. Impossible. See? Let's go on here. Let's read some things the prophet said. He says here, well, first we'll read this scripture too. Hebrews 12, 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness. So follow holiness too. Without which no man shall see the Lord. And the prophet used that many times. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. As I said, and if there was ever a people needed more holiness, it's people in this message. Yeah. For what we know. For what been given to us in this age. And a perfect, pure, unadulterated age and message that came forth. Oh my. We need more holiness about us. Yeah. The prophet said here in Abraham. This is December 8, 1956. And he goes on. I don't care if it's before the seals. Don't use that excuse because it doesn't change all the way through. Okay? All right? He said, now you see, that has an awful Calvinistic swing to it, Brother Branham. That's right, it does. And Calvinism is all right as long as it stays true to the Bible. Now listen. But when it gets off on the wrong limb, then it's no good. Arminianism, holiness is correct as long as it stays Bible holiness. Now, if a man comes up with some kind of crazy idea that's not the word, then okay, I'm paying attention to that. Okay? He says, and as long as it stays in the Bible holiness, not your holiness, but it's his holiness, because it's his spirit being in you. Okay? See, then it's not my holiness. I'm not depending on my holiness. I have none. But I'm holy, trusting in his holiness. It's he. See, he's the one who did it, not my works, but his finished works, that I rest assured that I received in the beloved. And when the beloved was received by God, God received me in Christ, and that settles it. No negatives, you see. All right? So let him just explain yourself now. All right, influence. This is January 14, 1963, paragraph 211. Look what the effects of the vision did to the prophet. Now, he was a prophet. He was a vessel for the word of the Lord to come to. He was chosen, born a prophet, finally gave his life, sold up to pieces with a saw. But we find out that this great prophet, when he saw this vision from heaven and saw the order, how God was preparing his men, why, it caused this prophet to confess he was a sinner, a man of unclean lips, as he stood before the Lord. And we want to be so big, though, and wear some kind of a big turned-around collar, some kind of clothes, you know, that makes us look so holy and reverent. There is no holiness with us. We can't be holy. Holiness is of God. So you're going to tell me we'll preach too much about God? Oh, my. Certainly it ain't a holy church. It ain't a holy mountain. It's a holy God. That's right. Not holy people, a holy God. It's God in the people. There's what it is. Peter referred to the Mount Transfiguration. Now, don't that just sound like Satan to try to get God out of the people? Get that holiness out of the people? Why, you can preach it until you condemn yourself. I'll say it again. If you do preach holiness and it condemns you, you need condemned. You see? But no, they don't want to be condemned with the word. They don't want that word smacking them in the face. Oh, they don't want to take heed to that. Now, they'd have to overcome something then, you see. He said, it ain't meant the holy God was on the mountain. Look at it now, see. But it was a holy God there, the presence of God that made it holy. It's the presence of God in our midst now that brings holiness. Not my holiness, not yours, but his holiness. And you watch any time truly when it's the Holy Ghost, if got into somebody, and when it wasn't in somebody, and they just got in the flesh, get a woman spinning around, fall down, her dress flies up clear to her top of her head. But if it's the real Holy Ghost, you watch that Holy Ghost just keep it right around there and everything act just right. Amen. Real holiness, because God is holiness, you see. He ain't all this nonsense they got today. His presence is what brings the holiness. He says, oh, how we ought to humble ourselves and cover ourselves in reverence and humility and say, Lord Jesus, receive me in your kingdom. His holiness, it's not ours. It's his Holy Spirit in us, you see? All right? I just want to get some of these things to you. Influence, on over. You must remember that God is watching you every hour. He watches you when you're asleep. And I think the reason that people do these things is because they're not conscious of his presence, see? But yet he is there, whether you think he is or not. He sees every look that you make and every move that you make. He knows all about it. But we ought to realize that. Why wouldn't I want, if he said, I'm to be holy as he is holy, why wouldn't I want to be watching that? Huh? The voice of the sign, March 21st, 1964, in paragraph 20. Just think what caused every sickness. Now, I want to get through these things real quick as I can, all right, because I want to get to a certain point here. He said, just think what caused every sickness, every heartache, every death, every trouble, every sorrow, this little spastic child. All these things, cripples, blind, every hospital that was built, because one person just misbelieved one little part of the word. That was Eve. Satan just coded it to her. Oh, Same devil does the same thing today. Not quoted, but he coded it. Okay? To her. Surely the Lord is too good. You hear so much today about God being a good God. He's a good God. But remember, he's a God of holiness. A God that cannot overlook sin. The penalty has been paid for. He said the penalty has been paid for. And you've got to accept it on his grounds. And remember, he is a God of anger, a God of wrath. And you'll stand before an angry God. Not just God of goodness and mercy. Tonight he is your Savior. That day he'll be your judge. So be sure that you don't leave one thing undone or do anything just haphazardly. Oh my. Because he's a God of holiness. And everything has to be just right. Yeah. Just right. That's what he looks for. Okay. Let's go on. Indictment. He says, that was preached July 7, 1963, but again about 299. Somebody said to me the other day, some woman asked me, said, well, where do you think you'll find that? I said, if the Lord asked me to pick a dozen out over the world, I'd be scared to death. When by discernment of the Spirit, stand there and watch them, and stand there like that and see them things over them, dirty, filthy, low-down cigarette suckers out there carrying on like that, and stand in robe choirs and sing in that condition, and let the audience see them. They'll say, well, if she can do it, I can do it too. It's kind of like the attitude in some people in the message too. Well, this church does it, or this pastor says it's okay. I don't care what any pastor says. It's whatever the word says. You see? All right? A Christian life is a life of holiness and purity and innocent. Wow. Now, wouldn't I want to make sure it's that way? Or would I want just the attitude, well, Brother Steve preaches on holiness so much that it condemns me. I'm going to tell you, if anybody preached holiness, it was the prophet. Oh, yeah. But again, they don't want that thing to bother them. Yeah. So they got to say something about it, you know. All right. He says, I indict them in the name of Jesus Christ for their filth and dirt. They have brought the gospel to disgrace. And those who try to hold it are called fanatics. Isn't that true? Yeah. They call them old-fashioned nonsense. Yeah. He said, but I indict them in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, for in crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ, for pressure in. Amen. He says, therefore I indict you by the word of God. You are teaching the people an error and crucifying the principles of Christ of holiness. Oh. And life above. That the person might walk out on the street and be a different person. He indicted them back then for that. You see? What's going to be our excuse today? That we preach holiness too so much that we condemn ourselves. As I said, we need condemned if we can't stand up that holiness. You see? But I'm just showing you, look how close that is. Look how close that is. I just think if we go on believing that and then get the idea in our head, you know, well, that's overboard, you know. I don't have to go that far. But what if the Word said you did? But you got yourself convinced because what somebody said, you can preach holiness till it condemns you, you know. Oh, my, what a loophole. Yeah, a Satan loophole. Yeah. Is your life worthy of the gospel? June 30th, 1963. Then you begin to find out your patience gets about, let me see if I can skip some, let's save a little time. He said, if you say, oh, that's not so, listen to that scandal. Oh, watch out. He was talking about listening to people say things they shouldn't say. He said, and listen to that scandal. He says, watch out. The Holy Spirit is not a cesspool. No, he says. The heart is occupied by the Holy Spirit and is full of holiness. Full of holiness. Yeah. Purity. Thinketh no evil. Doeth no evil. Believeth all things, endureth all things, love suffereth long. Oh my. Yeah. Just think of that. The heart is full of holiness if the Holy Spirit's in you. How could you hear too much of it? Oh my. The Way of a True Prophet, January 19, 1963. God is holy. Paragraph 126. God is holy. They that live by him must live holy. He is a holy God. The Bible said, without holiness, he said this many times, but I'm going to read more. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. That's true. His life is holy. And if his life is in you, it makes you holy. Without it, you won't see the Lord. Oh, my. But what if I get something, as I said now, that makes it sound just a little bit, I can relax on it. Oh, my. Isn't that what he made Eve do? Relax on it? He sure did. She relaxed enough to where, oh, that sounds good. You know? Now, that may sound like something simple, friends, but you know that one word can send you straight to hell. Do you realize that? That's how close it is. And we may think, oh, I understand this and I know this. You better make sure you know the word. That's why we shouldn't waste no time. You should be studying that word, listening to the word, whatever it takes, friend, to make sure you know where you're at. Because your adversary, the devil, is going about as a roaring lion. And I'm going to tell you what, he's using preachers' hot split tongues to deceive you. Yes. Oh, my. And there's hundreds of them out there. They're all over the place. Yeah. And don't get the idea that I think I'm the only one. I am not. I know there's true little ones wherever that little bride at, it'll feed that little bride. And he'll stay with that word. Hey, well, and if he does make a mistake, friends, and he finds out, he'll get right back lined up with that word. Amen. He will stay out of that word. Not if it's true fivefold ministry. The prophet said here, spiritual amnesia. Paragraph 50. So has God's people in these last days has forgotten what the testimony of being a Christian means. It's again this amnesia that has come upon the people. They can't identify themselves. They forget all about it. They had forgot his holiness. Oh, how true they have. They forgot his law. The women were living like the rest of women now, you see. And you watch, friends. You look at people, how they just keep picking up more worldly stuff, more worldly stuff, more like the world all the time. Yeah. God's church and his people has always been a separated people, a called out people, a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices to God, the fruits of their lips giving praise to his name. God called his church and separated it from the world. For that very purpose, see, and he give it a law, and it must be holy. Must be. He said, I am holy, you must be holy. Amen. Wow. And without holiness, he says again, no man shall see the Lord. God said that himself. And he had called this people to be this type of people, but they had forgotten about it. They had forgotten his laws. They had forgotten their morals. Yeah. They forgot their morals. That's why they're going back to reading and wearing these skirts like Brother Bram talked about back in the scandal skirts. Make it look like they got their underneath skirt showing, underneath clothes showing. That's why they'll wear the clothes anymore. It's so thin you can see the brassiere straps to it. And it's just losing holiness more and more and more. That's why they want to wear the bras that'll pop themselves clear up there so somebody will look at them. You know, it's just getting less and less and less all the time. It's not about holiness and purity anymore. It's about being a message believer. I believe his message. Hogwash. Satan didn't get a hold of him. And deceived him. You see? He says, and he had called this people to be a type of people, you see, and they'd forgotten their morals. The woman out on the street, Israelite woman out there, each one expecting to be conceived by the Holy Spirit to bring forth the Messiah, and then acting like that, their character was terrible. Look at people today in this message, supposed to be the literal life of Jesus Christ, and they can't even keep holiness. And the preachers is just giving it to him where, oh, don't worry about that. That preacher's a fanatic. Don't you listen to him. Don't pay no mind to him. He's fanatical. They thought Brother Branham was fanatic too, a lot of times. And anytime you stay with the word, friends, there's always going to be people come along that thinks you're fanatic. You see? All right? Let's go on real quickly here. I'll get on something else real quick here. I'll hurry up. A perfect strength, a perfect weakness. November 19th, 1961. He says here, do you know that God can't change? He can't change. He has one nature, and that's holiness. He can't change. If you don't become like him, you'll not see him. Sometimes you're just opposite what that man said. Yeah. And there's no room for let any of it down. Yeah. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Oh my. And probably some of us here still need some more holiness. Yeah. Investments, November 16, 1963. I read in the Bible that God told John on the Isle of Patmos that the deeds of the Nicolaitans he hated. Nicaio means conquer laity, to conquer the laity, and put all the holiness in some certain men. Holiness is to all. The Holy Spirit fell upon the whole group. There is no holy man, anyhow. It's a holy God. We don't say holy church, holy people. It's holy God. We're not holy, but he is holy. Not a holy minister, it's the Holy Spirit. He says he ministers through the minister. It's not holy men. We're none of us is holy. But they seemingly too many times are turning down the same opportunity. They turned down the opportunity of holiness too, you see. All right? All right. One more, and then we'll go over to something else before we close. All right? Church Age book. Back to that. Paragraph 292. All right, it says, and men at that age, as even today, were making the same mistake as the Jews took refuge in the synagogue, form of worship. So in the Philadelphian age, they were taking refuge in the church. It's not joining a church that counts. The life is not in the church. The life is in Christ. This is the record that God had given us, eternal life. And this life in us, his Son. See, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not the life. Man is made holy by the Spirit. It is the Spirit of holiness that raised Jesus from the dead that dwells in us and makes us holy with his holiness. Why? Because the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, which you receive, will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance. And so the word is just bang, 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 bang. Okay, I'm done this. I ain't going to be part of that. I'm not going to be this. I'm not going to look like that. No way. There he stands, the Holy One. And we will stand with him clothed in his righteousness and holy with his holiness. Now this age is sixth age in the eyes of God. Time is drawing to a close. He will soon be coming back. Soon the cry will go forth as he comes. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Oh, I'm so glad my holiness is not myself. I'm glad that I'm in Christ with all his wonderful attributes and righteousness imputed, yea, imparted unto me. Blessed be the God forever, you see. Now, again, can I preach too much of Jesus Christ in me? He's holy. We need more of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Not take him away. Now, Satan wants to take it away, and he wants to pervert it. And he wants to pervert that holiness because he knows God's word says, be holy as I am holy. He's got to get rid of the holiness. Got to get rid of this. It's too much of it. I've got to conquer this thing. I've got to pervert this thing and destroy it. I'm going to try to get to that little bride. Oh, and he tried to, but it didn't work. You see? Revelation of Jesus Christ. Church Age book. All right. Now remember this. Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan revealing his works and attempted destruction of God's people and a discrediting of God's word, right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire. So he won't quit until he's cast in the lake of fire, friends. He fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is, what she stands for, and that she should do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. if they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church. And that's what I want to show you again. That two spirits within the framework of the Christian church. You say, well, Brother Steve, now wait a minute. He can't get in these message churches. Oh, that's where he's aiming for. To try to destroy God's little bride. Deceive the very elect if it were possible. But he ain't going to be able to. Because she's going to be fortified with that word. You see. And by God's Spirit discern. By God's Spirit discern and withstand that Antichrist spirit. And Satan will be powerless before her. Hallelujah. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. What did Jesus do? Satan, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Satan tried it even on our Lord Jesus, but he didn't succeed. But he's succeeding in message churches today. All through the land, he's succeeding. Yes, Satan hates revelation. I'll guarantee you, Satan's hating what I'm reading. He's hating what I'm going to talk about these couple services. He hates it. Yeah. But he said, we love it. Amen. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. As we got out there on the rock, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. By God's grace, it will not. I've been where it had, and it prevailed. But by God's grace, it won't happen here. I would rather die and God take me off the scene than to have deceit come out of this pulpit. You see? But we will prevail over them. There's got to be a true bride, saints, that will not be deceived. And are being deceived all over the world. You see? Oh my. In closing, I'll close here. The first seal, March 18, 1963. Now remember, it wasn't Russia, no. The Antichrist is a smooth fella. Oh. Just watch how smooth he is. And he said he's very smart. Yes, sir. Just takes the Holy Spirit, though, only thing can outdo him. That's what I like. Amen. Only the Holy Spirit can outdo him. Yes. Amen. I thank God that when I went home and something was bothering me, I couldn't figure out what it was. I thank God the next morning it was even worse. I just felt like I'd fell in a mud hole. I thought, what in the world did I do wrong? I was trying to think, did I do something wrong? What did I do wrong? I was trying to think, what did I say? Or what did I look at something? What did I do, Lord? And then all of a sudden, you sit there and shook your head to what that was said, that minister said. And I want you to see what you shook your head to. I thought, oh my, dear Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. Amen. The sixth seal. Paragraph 201. Then here they come out with another power, another age of church, another ministry. Then when he does that, along comes God with his ministry. Then the Antichrist comes in with his. And anti is against. Anti is anti-word. And friends, when it ain't the word, it's anti-word. Okay? They run side by side. Haven't they always? Even when our Lord Jesus went to the wilderness? Satan was right there side by side with him to try to catch him off guard. You see? I want you to notice a little something just about the time that Cain came on the earth, Abel came on the earth. Would you sisters come up, please? I want you to notice just about the time that Christ came on earth, Judas came on earth. About the time Christ went off the earth, Judas went off the earth. Just about the time the Holy Spirit fell, the Antichrist spirit fell. Just about the time the Holy Ghost is revealing himself in the last days, the Antichrist is showing his colors. Yeah. coming up through these politics and things. And just about the time the Antichrist moves himself fully on the scene, God moves himself fully on to redeem his own. And just runs just right together now. And they're both side by side. Yeah. Cain and Abel, the crow and the dove on the ark, Judas and Jesus, and just on down through. So tell me, it ain't going to be in message churches today. Absolutely it will be. In closing now. Second seal going on over. Now see, Satan, he says, raises those up. Watch the shrewdness of this fella that we're talking about here, Satan. We're unfolding him right here. Just stripping him down by the scriptures and letting you see who he is. That's what's supposed to be done, see. You remember, he has not tried to go in to be a communist. Satan hasn't. He's an antichrist. So close. So close. That Jesus said it would deceive the very elected. And that's one that's hid down through those seals. Whose names are on the book since the foundation of the world. He is a shrewd fellow. Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you what, friends. I'm not afraid to admit it, but I'm not supporting ignorance. But I'm probably one of the most unlearned ministers throughout the land. Smart? I have no smartness. None. No. I couldn't get up and speak if it wasn't for God helping me. I ain't got it. Never did. Never did in school. Couldn't hardly pass. Cheated when I was a kid. Made F's, B's. So I wouldn't get in trouble. Yeah. Very unlearned. But I think Peter was too, and many others. Didn't know. But there's a lot of ministers out there outsmart me a long ways. A lot of them. But I thank God what I got. I'd rather have what I got than all the smarts. And I could get up here and stand behind a pulpit and rely on because I can remember all this stuff. I can't remember nothing. So I have to rely on him. You see? He's the best one to rely on. Lean not upon your own understanding. No way. He is a shrewd fella. And when he sees this thing coming up, then he throws everything he can out there to upset it. For it gets there, see? Did you know there will be false Christ rise in the last day? Ah. It should follow immediately after this great message. Amen. Hallelujah. That this brother will speak, he said, that will actually come and be anointed in the spirit of Elijah immediately, and they'll mistake him. Some of them will think he's Messiah, but he will strictly say no. Just like the prophet said, no, I'm not here. No way. Because it's got to become like John. And in the time of John the Baptist, when he came out there to preach, they said to him, aren't you the Messiah? Aren't you he? He said, I am not. I'm not worthy to loose his shoes. I baptize you water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And John was so sure that he's on earth. He said, he is among you somewhere here. But he didn't know him until he saw that sign come down above him, upon him. Then when he seen that light coming down and spread out like the dove, come upon him, he said, there he is, that's him. But John was the only one that saw it, you know. John was the only one that heard the voice. All the rest of them had never heard it. But then when the real true servant comes on, the prophet, he came, with all the inspiration on it, it is to upset the people's mind. And Satan does that. And those who can't discern right from wrong, they just tumble over it. But the elected won't do it. The Bible said he would be able to deceive the elect. The second seal comes forth, goes right on into the end. The third seal comes from forth and goes right on to the end. 4, 6, 7, 7, right? Everyone winds up right here at the end. And at the end time, these books that's been rolled up all this time, these mysteries in them, is broken. Then out comes the mystery to see what it is. But actually, they started forth at the first church age, because at the first church age, received a message like this. A white horse rider went out, who is, he's mighty in his conquering power, is great fellow in his conquering power. And you want me to tell you who he is? He's the Antichrist. That's exactly what he is. Now, because you see, if Antichrist, Jesus said, that two would be so close together until it would deceive the very elected. Now, we got preachers out there today and saying that Antichrist will come after the bride's gone. Well, that sure is opposite of what the prophet's saying here. The elected is here, so the Antichrist is here when the elected's here. Amen. Common sense. But no, their message is he ain't coming until the bride's gone. Yeah, he'll be here too, friend. But he's here trying it on the bride right now. You see? People are so blind. Jesus said the two would be so close together until it would deceive the very elected, the bride, if it was possible. Antichrist is the Antichrist spirit. I'm going to stop right there. And then, Lord willing, if he wants me to, I'll pick it up Sunday. But I was sure glad to be able to bring this out tonight because I was really wanting to make sure at least that part come out so far. Because, saints, it's serious. It really is. I mean, just what if one of these young people would listen to that? Maybe fresh and new in Christ and they heard something like that. And they see all these other young ladies in the message, you know, and dressing like they are and doing like this. See, Bro Steve probably is a little fanatical because that preacher said, you know, you can preach holiness till you condemn yourself. So I'm not going to condemn myself about this. So we're just going to, I think it's going to be all right if I do this and I do that. Yeah. Right from hell. Yeah. Saints, we're living in a dangerous time. The Apostle Paul said, in the last days, be perilous times. Perilous times. They'd give heed to seducing spirits. Seduce what? Seduce them away from the Word. You see? What do you think's going on? Seducing spirits, right? Message churches? Yes. I believe that with all my heart. But share after you get done hearing again what I'm going to read to you. Yeah. And people oftentimes, they get kind of confused and a little mixed up when the prophet may be saying something like that and he says a denomination. What is a denomination? Built from man's creeds and ideas. Amen. Is it any different? If a man gets this message and he starts adding his ideas and creeds to it and gives it to the people, serving the same thing? It's a creed, it's an idea, friend. It'll do the same damage. You see? It'll do the same harm, it'll kill you just the same. You see? But people can't see it. They just toss out. And how many times, listen to what the prophet said. It's done purposely sometimes. To cause people to come to go out, to leave. Yeah, they just can't figure it out. Troubles them, you know. They can't figure things out. Why do you say it this way and why do you say it that way? Oh, my. I think that's another reason why God let it happen the way some of the things the prophet did before the seals and after the seals. And he changed it after the seals. The Holy Ghost came out and showed and revealed things to him. And this is the way it was, the way it's supposed to be. And he preached it the other way before. He used to preach love was the evidence. You imagine people not having a solid ground to understand these things? Yeah. It's done purposely. Just like he said about Jesus. Oh, my. They thought he was a vampire. Amen. Eat my flesh, eat his flesh and drink his blood. What's he think we are? You know? They couldn't understand it. But it was done for purpose. It was done for purpose. And I believe in the future, if the Lord should tarry, there'll be more things that'll happen. And it'll throw them again. You remember a lot of them got thrown over him not coming in 1977? I believe with all my heart there's something else coming, friend. It's going to throw them again. And I'll say, it can't be. Can't be. Not so. You'll see. It's only for the elect. And it's by God's grace it's been given you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. God's mercy and grace, you see. But just look how close that little thing is. Just that little thing. And look how dangerous it is. Now, whether that man would ever, I don't know who he is, don't care to know who he is. But the thing is, if he did, you just wonder now, if he was presented the truth and really thought to what he really said, if he'd repent. Or if he'd be like the 90% of them, you ain't telling me. You ain't telling me nothing. I'm right. Go on. You know? So like I tried to tell one of the ministers to show him. And I even told him I'd sit down and give him the quotes and go over it with him. There ain't no way he's born with two natures. Brother Branham plainly showed us we was. Oh, my. There ain't no change in the nature or anything like that and destroy my nature. No, it's one. One. I said, okay. Just thought I'd try to help you. But friends, they won't listen. No. They get it in their head. And you know, Brother Branham said, I'll read it to you. They can't help themselves. They can't help themselves. That's their position here on earth, to be a deceiver. False anointed ones in the end time. Oh, God. In message churches, they're all through them. Yeah, deceiving the people. Yes. Holiness, yes. Well, you think there's so much holiness being lost. Satan's perverted it. But it makes me want to press on and be more holy. Amen. Oh, God, let me be more like you. Amen. Oh, Lord, let me think like you. Have the mind of Christ. Talk like you. Everything, Lord. Let me be you. It's the literal life of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. If you think I'm fanatic, that's fine. Let's just leave me alone. I'd rather just know I'm staying in that word. Yeah. Amen. Know I'm staying in that, and that word back me up. And I know everything's going to be all right. You see, amen. But thank God for that, as Brother Smith used to say, thank God for that good old Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us all stand. Praise his precious name. Amen. Anybody got a song you want to sing before we dismiss in prayer? Anybody at all? Amen. Anybody at all? All right. I'm not no song leader, so. You had to. Where was that one I was thinking about? Yes, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? That was it. There will never be a sweeter story, the story of the Savior's love divine, friends. Love that brought him from the realms of glory just to save a sinful soul like mine. There will never be a sweeter story, story of the Savior's love divine. Page 10 in S, if you don't know it. Down to the realms of glory, just to save a sinful soul like mine. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me? Oh, boundless as the universe around me, reaching to the farthest soul away, saving, keeping love it was that found me. That is why my heart can truly say, come on up, Brother Timothy. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful?
Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me?
Oh, isn't he wonderful? Amen. Oh, aren't you glad for the truth that sets us free? Amen. You know, just like to say, when I was telling our brother about that minister saying that, I know why he's agreed with that minister. He had said some other things, and I hope I didn't portray it that I agreed with him in any way, because I didn't. Because I'd actually told my wife that was a loophole. And you see it in their lives, saints. The word is missing. And it's the same with us. It's a deficiency. One word lacking in our lives, we might be a little higher up the rung. maybe than someone over here or someone over there, but one vitamin missing, it stands out so bad against that light. And that's why we must cry out, Lord, grant me the revelation, Lord, of every word, that I'm not be deceived, Lord, that I won't think I'm something when I'm nothing, and don't think that everything in my life is just fine when it's not. But Lord, let me keep reaching for those higher heights in you. Oh, that he would make us what we ought to be. Amen. Before we dismiss, I have a gentleman that's been hunting at the house for quite a few years, and he's 80 years old, and he made it a point to come see me Monday night when he come out of the woods. And his wife is 76, and she's got Alzheimer's real bad. And I believe they're Catholic in faith, but he made it a point to come to the garage, and he said, I wanted to catch you before anybody else got up here. And he said, my wife's really bad. And he said, I just want you to make sure you put her on your prayer chain at your church. And he said, I want you to know that I want you to pray for her. And I told him that we would, and I forgot to put a card up here earlier, so as we dismiss, we'll just remember her in prayer. You know, God knows all things. And, you know, the gentlemen, they've been hunting there for about 5 years and watching us, and they've noticed we don't miss church to go hunting, and noticed that every Sunday we're here, even when they're coming down and maybe need some help. And I always tell them, I get out of church, I'll be home about 1 o'clock. And it's been good for them. I've noticed their language change when they come around, and they don't use their foul language, and just watch things change as they begin to be around us and see us. And I just pray God, at least, you know, he's been respectful to us, and I just pray that God will reach down and touch his wife in a special way for them. You know, it's something you wish everybody in this life could have what we have and what God's imparted to us by his grace. And it's only his mercy and grace that each one of us have what we have and what we feel in our heart, the desire that burns to serve him and to please him. And oh, how grateful we ought to be for it. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of another service, Lord, we thank you for the truth of your precious word. And Lord, we humbly ask that you would take your Holy Spirit, Lord, and surround each and every one of us. Lord, as we see the sincerity of the age in which we live, and Lord, how close it's going to be, and Lord, when you can see how just one word twisted can bring so much chaos, Lord, into our lives, Lord, we ask that you would guard us, Lord, and protect us, and keep our eyes on the goal, Lord, and our ears tuned to your precious word, and Lord, to stay humble and in humility with your precious word, Lord, that you could speak to our hearts. And Lord, we thank you for everything that you're doing for us. And Lord, the gentleman that came to me with his wife, Lord, you know the situation, Lord. And we just humbly ask that, Lord, you would reach down. And if some way it can work to your glory and to your honor, Lord, in a way that you would receive praise from it, Lord, we ask that you would just move in that situation. Lord, only you know everything that happens around us. And Lord, we just leave it in your hands. Now, Lord, we just pray for those that couldn't be here tonight, whether they be sick or afflicted, Lord, that you would touch them and raise them up. That, Lord, we all may be able to gather in Sunday around your precious word, Lord, and to feed upon that precious word. And, Lord, we thank you for all these things, and we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it all. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing it again. Amen. Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me? Amen. May the Lord richly bless you. You're all dismissed.
Yes. Well, I'm thinking about it again. I've mentioned this before, but just kind of keep in mind, if a visitor comes, I probably won't preach on that, you know, because, you know, he doesn't know those things yet or anything like that. But keep that in mind. If I change to a different message, you know, understand. Like I said, it may seem like sometimes it may be, you know, way down from what we should be listening to or something like that. But just remember, we all started somewhere, you know. And if God has an opportunity to deal with somebody's heart, I want to be open for it, you know, because you just can't dump different things on them and they don't have a clue what you're talking about. You know, that's not going to do them any good. So like I said, we grow as calves in a stall. So, I mean,
you know, sometimes we have to change a little order of maybe what we've done or we're going to do. So just be patient with me. Amen. We'll eventually get it all.
Amen.
Amen. But God bless you. But be understanding. All righty. Don't think I'll flip my lid. Amen.
Amen. God.